This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Daddy's hosting today, kids.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Would Dak Prescott, okay, for the rest of his career, be better off somewhere else?
Depends on how you look at things. Is it about making money? Because bottom line is, that's what it's all about.
Earlier on the show, Jaguars linebacker Joshua Hines-Allen. Coming up, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin. Co-founder of the Men in Blazers Media Network, Roger Bennett. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, hour number two. We just said goodbye to Josh Hines-Allen as he's left, we had him sign our Jacksonville Jaguar helmet that is here. Anybody who comes in here who has played for the Jaguars signs it, and it's a helmet I had years ago for, I don't know how I wind up having this helmet.
It'd been an NFL Network thing. It's a real helmet. It's authentic.
Signed by Maurice Jones-Drew, and it's Hines-Allen held the helmet. He's like, who else signed it? And TJ, you said it was MJD. And he goes, ah, two hyphens.
It was like, oh, right.
That's right. There's a Hines Allen
and a
Jones Drew.
Who else can we get that?
I love it.
And then he saw the Tony Khan neck brace over there.
And he saw the Tony Khan neck brace. So we've got a lot of Jacksonville baubles here.
You hear that, Trevor Lawrence? We expect you on
here
next week.
Let's get him out here. Bill Belichick's joining Inside the NFL, huh?
Is that what's correct? Happening? With Ryan Clark and Chad Ochocinco, okay, and Chris Long.
Bill's, there we go. That's Belichick good. Is joining. I'm thrilled to join my new team at NFL Films and to work on such a historic television franchise. I've always appreciated Inside the NFL's depth of analysis, and I hope to bring the same detailed insight to the CW by talking real football with real pros, Ryan Clark, Chris Long, and Chad Johnson this upcoming season. As we all know, Chad, I do believe, finished his career as a Patriot, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Because I do remember Chad Johnson telling me years and years and years ago, when he was on Bengals cam frequently, that if he ever made it to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm, he would show up at media day wearing only a towel. And so, sure enough, Chad made the Super Bowl with the Patriots one year.
But didn't get a podium, right?
He didn't get a podium because he really wasn't doing very much at that part of his career.
Yeah. Second Giants Super Bowl, right?
And that's the one organization that I don't believe would allow him to wear a towel. Of many. Probably the Bengals would have been another. But
Rich, do you remember the interview with Bill and Chad, like pregame? It's been going around where Bill goes up to me, goes, hey, just so you know, we're going to be double teaming you all game. And Chad's like, oh, no, come on, coach. And Bill's like, no, we're going to have somebody, two guys following you.
Let
and
me
Chad's
just say,
all mad.
I do believe, do they do that show in New Jersey? Do they do
yes.
that?
Yes. At the, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the studio that we shot NFL 100 all time team show.
Okay.
And so Bill's worked television in that studio before. Yeah. And once again, I kind of think this is, at this point in time, stating what I believe is widely believed about Bill, now that he has made many appearances at ranging from McAfee's draft night to college game days, celebrity guest picker segment to the Brady roast, mm-hmm, that the Belichick we all saw moving on to Cincinnati is not the Belichick you're going to see.
Oh, no.
And if they do with Bill what we did with Bill in that studio for the NFL 100 program, which is give him a clicker and let him go to work. And he's going to do that with fresh game film from a fresh 40 million people were watching NFL game. And also in studio is somebody who he won a Super Bowl with in Chris Long. Don't forget, one of two rings Chris Long has is with Bill. And clearly, you know, Ryan Clark, being the guy that he has shown to be, as a microphone-wearing host. That's going to be a fun show to watch.
Big time.
Yeah.
And Bill breaking down tape and breaking down film. I mean,
can't get any better than that, right?
That's great.
That's what we want.
And we're also assuming Bill's watching a lot of CW these days, or more than he ever has.
Come on, Rich.
Stop.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, he's joining their organization,
why
Chris.
Why is that? Do they have some new...
But that guy on the screen is not the guy you're going to see.
Why is that?
The guy on the screen, which is the frown-wearing, I'm not sharing information with you, standing behind the podium... guy, that is not the guy you're going to see when he starts to do this. And I guess, is he doing the Manning cast too quite a bit? Isn't that what he said?
Manning cast, I think he's doing Mondays with Pat. I think he's going to be...
Okay.
We're going to get a lot
of
Bill.
We're
going to get a lot of Bill, Rich, basically until about week 8.
That's when who hires him?
That's when he takes over as Cowboys head coach.
This guy.
How about them Cowboys?
Well, I think what you're...
McCarthy gets fired on the week 7 bye week, and
what
Bill
you're
takes
right
over.
Now,
can we game
so
on this problem?
Now we get, let me we tell get you, Bill week me, 8 at San Francisco.
Let me tell you what...
What's not going to happen?
Here's what I am... Well, here's what I am supremely confident in saying. Is Bill Belichick, for whatever he's going to do the rest of his football career... will not be known as a mid-season coaching replacement. That is not going to happen. Period. End of story. The question I think that should be asked more legitimately than my trolling friend across the aisle.
Oh, I love this guy. Yeah, troll.
Is right there. We're going to see out of Bill on inside the NFL and everything else that he's going to do, will that make him more of a palatable hire for a team looking to recast their franchise? Will that make him more of a guy that an owner would be comfortable in hiring? Because coming off of what we saw the last couple of years, the general sense one got is that here's a guy who will never change his spots, never learn a new trick, because there's only one way to do it, and we're not just going to hand the entire organization over to him because he's difficult, potentially set in his ways too much. And you're going to see a guy with a sense of humor and a guy that you're going to love to watch and a guy that's going to make you smarter. Boy howdy, is he going to do that. And does that now recast him as a coaching candidate?
100%.
I think it will.
It's definitely going
it
to.
It always has. Whenever a guy goes and whenever a guy goes in the booth, then suddenly it's just like, oh, well, he can talk. He can be more personable.
Absolutely.
He can be this.
Tower
he can be that.
Was living proof of that, yeah. When Bill went.
And it's not easy to identify the spots now, but there will be 6 head coaching openings after this season. There will be, guaranteed.
Just a fact.
It's just a fact.
More likely.
Not the one you said a week
more, ago. More likely that this is what Bill does the rest of his career, or Bill will be in a position next year to choose a job.
Bill will be one candidate
to
next
be
year.
To be choosing a job. To be like, yeah, you might be interested in me. I'm not interested in you.
No doubt.
I think that's more likely.
No doubt.
But he may also really like what I think any coach And you mentioned Cowher.
Bill was in.
Well, Bill didn't go back.
No, he didn't go back.
I'm sure he had many opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
But I don't know. I understand your analogy right there. I don't think, you know, television made Cowher more palatable. I think Cowher would have been hired, you know, in week two after doing just 2 days of work on CBS.
But how was Bill?
Because Bill, again, came out right now. In this coaching hiring,
I only had one interview.
You heard about all of that.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. You heard about all, like, Atlanta is like, well, I mean, is he going to fit into our world and things of that nature? Right? Wasn't that the Wickersham, Don Van Natta?
Well, he had issues with Rich McKay.
Allegedly, reportedly. So.
Bill's going to smile. He's going to laugh, going to tell some stories, and everyone's going to be like, hey, I like this guy.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've seen it up close.
And then when it's come coaching hire time, they're going to be the Ben Johnsons and the Bobby Slowicks, and then there's Bill.
I'll repeat the story that is one of my favorite stories to tell about the NFL 100 all-time team shoot. It was a two-day shoot. There were 6 episodes. And I saw Bill show up. They had Hall of Fame busts. It was the first time, I believe, that Canton loaned out busts for a television shoot. And Bill was in the corner, and I took a photograph of him looking at all of the busts, and he was really into it from jump. And the folks that showed up, thanks to NFL Films and Tracy Perlman, twisting arms, as she is so expert at doing, and actually, I shouldn't say the words twisting arms. She asks, and people just say yes. That's more appropriate. But that said, from that moment, I remember the number of people that showed up. And for the defensive line group, the pass rusher group, we had the great pass rusher, Mean Joe Green, showed up in person. And we're ready to start the segment. You know, it's me and Belichick and Collinsworth and Mean Joe Green and the other defenders who are there. I think it might have been Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor. We're all at the table. If my memory serves, who else was sitting at the table? Because I do remember Mean Joe Green was the last one added there. At any rate, it was the only time before we started taping out of the two-day shoot that Belichick turned to me and he said, Rich, mind if I ask the first question?
And you told him no, right?
I told him what I was. I didn't tell him what I was thinking. What I was thinking was, I can't believe I'm in a position that Bill Belichick is A, asking me anything of me.
Like permission.
Two, he's asking me something about starting a television segment because he's an analyst of a show that I'm hosting. Mm-hmm. And three, that I'm sitting at NFL Films around a table with all these folks.
Yeah, that must have been.
All of it was just like, just rained on me, but I just blurted out, of course, go for it. And I thought to myself, it's got to be something to do with the Steel Curtain, Chuck Knoll, you know, name it. Mm-hmm. Mel Blunt behind you, working the front and the back end together. Yeah, tell me about this. We go start the segment. 3, 2, 1. I'm like, welcome back. I welcomed everyone in. And I'm like, Bill, I know you want to ask something of Mean Joe Green first. Go for it. And he says to Mean Joe Green, he goes, that soda commercial you did, how many takes did it take? Because that was amazing. And I just, all of us, like Collinsworth and I, were just looking right at Bill like, really? That's what you did? What? Have a Coke and a smile? Is that what you're saying? That's how he started. He went pop culture with him.
How Joe was Joe like?
Joe laughed and he started telling the story about it. Took several takes and, you know, he kept on downing one after the other and he was burping like nonstop. Mm-hmm. It was the real soda. It was the real thing. Couldn't believe they made him do it again.
That's amazing, man.
So that's Bill Belichick.
Legend.
That's what you're going to get.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, and if people aren't aware of that Bill Belichick, if the only Bill you know is the guy at the press conferences, you are going to be so pleasantly surprised.
1,000,000%.
For like 2 months.
Let's go to Joe in Chicago.
Shut up, Chris.
Joe in Chicago. That's funny. Joe in Chicago, I believe, called in a half hour before the show began.
So
Joe, what's going on with you, man?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, man, what's going on?
You tell me.
Joe. So, two things. One,
yes,
I want to play the Green Bay Packers win-loss game.
From Chicago?
And two, yeah, it's a long story.
Okay. We're here for it.
Second one.
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The second one, I got an idea for Bill Belichick. It actually, it kind of ties into what you guys were just talking about.
All right.
So, let's say that there's a team that happens to make the playoffs, let's go pretty regularly, and let's say that they happen to play, let's go up north. You'll get this eventually. They've had a long, long history of epic quarterbacks where they've always played well. We've always had a great offense. But for some reason, things seem to happen. Whether it's an onside kick in Seattle that causes us not to go to the Super Bowl, or Colin Kaepernick running for, I don't know, 200 yards in San Francisco.
Yes.
For some reason, the Packers just couldn't get it done on defense. Now, I understand we have Jeff Hafley.
Come on. The guy left Boston College to come to your spot. You're saying bounce him so Belichick could coordinate a January defense?
I'm not saying bounce him right now. Here's what I'm saying. I'm painting a picture. Let's say the Packers, you know, they get to the playoffs, and same thing. We're like, oh, Jordan Love played well, but couldn't get it done. Could you imagine Bill Belichick, just to get his feet wet back in the NFL, coming out at the frozen tundra, cigar in his mouth, big trench coat like Lombardi, as the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers?
Why in the world? Yeah, because he needs to get his feet wet, Joe. He's forgotten. He's been 50 years in a row. This is the first year in over a half century that Belichick is not on the sideline in some capacity. So I love that. You're funny, man. So do you want to play the win-loss game to see if... We'll see how your defensive coordinator gets fired or not. Here we go. Joe in Chicago talking Green Bay Packers football. Ooh. At the Eagles, if you will, in Brazil.
We're going to start off with a loss there. That's going to be a toughie.
Home for the Colts.
That's a win.
At the Tennessee Titans.
That's a win.
Oh, my
God. That's a win. I know what you're saying.
Okay. Home for the Vikings.
That's a win.
At the Rams.
That one's going to be a lot. Matty Stafford's a pretty good player.
A home for the Cardinals.
That's a win.
Bouncing back. Home for the Texans.
I'm going to give it a win there.
At the Jaguars.
I'm going to give it a win. That's a loss. We don't play well in warm weather.
Home for the Lions.
That's a win.
Off the bye at the Bears.
Oh, come on. Come on. The ownership, come on.
They own the Bears there in Chicago. Home for the Niners.
That's a loss.
A home for the Dolphins on Thanksgiving night.
You know what? I'm going to get revenge on them. We're winning that game, boys.
At the Lions on a Thursday night.
At the Lions, that's going to be a loss.
Oh, dude, you crushed them there last year. At the Seahawks.
That's a win.
Home for the Saints on a Monday night.
That's a win.
At the Vikings.
Win.
And then home for the Bears.
Oh, come on. That's a win. Tundra, come on.
12-5, says Joe in Chicago.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hey, that's right. You went higher register, though. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling in. Boy, you're nuts, man. And you got in early, and I appreciate that. That's Joe in Chicago on the Rich Eisen Show.
Remember, I suggested that last year for the Cowboys.
12-5. He had them splitting with the Lions, and he had them sweeping the Bears, laughingly. And he had them sweeping the Vikings. Let's take a break. Dave McMenamin sat down one-on-one with LeBron in advance of last night's, what do we call it, showcase?
Showcase.
Fantastic. Dave McMenamin from ESPN when we come back. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light? light fixed or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
We're big Key and Peele fans here. Keegan-Michael Key, frequent guest of the show. The famed A-A-Ron sketch. We made multiple drops.
A-A-Ron.
Here, coach.
And we love it. The Key and Peele sketch where Barack Obama, played by Jordan Peele years ago, where he hugs and daps up people of color and then just straight up handshakes white people. Last night, Jim Gray shot this video. Barack Obama greeting the members of Team USA. Roll the tape here. So there's Anthony Edwards. Okay. Steph Curry, LeBron. Look at what Anthony Davis.
Really loud.
Nice, Mark Few. Nice to meet you.
Good to see you. How you doing?
Oh, Spoke.
Little side hug. Spoke. Oh, that is. Hey, handshake. Doing? Steve Kerr, handshake. Oh, okay. Little side hug.
Bring it in. Bring it in.
It is true. I am the Hooper in chief.
I mean, it's just great. I mean, and, ladies and gentlemen, and, just coming just to life here.
To obviously help send off the soon-to-be gold medal winners, not to put any pressure on it.
I mean...
That's amazing.
It's so loud, those daps.
So I just want to say this. If I was told beforehand that this skit would be played out in real life using this team and that coaching staff, I would have chosen the guy to get the handshake, Mark Few. I would have chosen him. Handpicked to get the straight arm Mark, Heisman Trophy like handshake.
Great to see you,
Mark.
Fantastic. Jim Gray, great video, brother. Great video. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Dave McMenamin joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, where Wednesday night's
showcase
went down between Team USA and Team Canada. Joining us here from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. Good to see you, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm not doing as well as Steph and LeBron and AD after getting the full wind-up dap from the President of the United States.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Very
doing
good.
Better than a handshake out here.
Yeah. Well, that is good. Very good. Hey, listen, you're sit down with LeBron James. How did you find LeBron when you sat down with him? Well, tell me what you gleaned from a guy who's been around this guy for a while.
He's someone, and you know this quite well, Rich, being around, sports figures that kind of have an outside influence with their presence. He recognizes his ability to push buttons. If he's not necessarily happy about his lot, his situation, he did none of that in my sit down with him on Sunday. Listen, the Lakers are an imperfect team right now. There's a lot of work to be done to really talk about them as a true championship contender. LeBron chose not to express that to me when I asked him about it. And to me, that's an olive branch to Jeannie Buss and to Rob Pelinka. There will be a time, I'm sure, if this roster looks the exact same as it does right now and the Lakers aren't shooting up the Western Conference standings, that he has the playbook and he knows the buttons to push in the public sphere to apply pressure to try to coerce Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, and the Lakers brass to make some moves. But he didn't choose to make that call right now. And you know, perhaps it is a sign of both sides looking forward to having a less rocky partnership over what could be the final stage of his career.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear he's happy. They drafted his son. They gave him $100 million over 2 years. The coach that got hired, one would think LeBron had, I don't know, how would you term it? You know, approval or, you know, handpicked or none of the above, Dave?
I certainly wouldn't use the term handpicked. Approval, for sure. He put his approval online through, you know, stamping that Mind the Game podcast with JJ with his endorsement that this is someone that speaks the game on the level that he does. And LeBron's long been considered to have one of the greatest basketball IQs we've ever seen in the sport. And so, of course, the approval part was there. Listen, I, you know, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too much here, but I actually believe that LeBron and JJ did not have a discussion behind the scenes about what JJ should be telling Rob and Jeannie in the interview process and what he needs to know about coaching the Lakers when he was interested in the job. Just because LeBron knows that virtually everything that he does ends up getting back to the public sphere at some point. And I think he has become savvy enough to know that he can sidestep some stuff. And it doesn't mean that JJ didn't speak to anyone else associated with LeBron. I'm not reporting that, but like that could have occurred and there could have been a surrogate for whatever LeBron's feelings were. But you know, I tend to actually believe that they didn't have a discussion until after JJ was offered the job from Rob Pelinka. And at that point, you know, it's just kind of let's get to work. And the important thing, and LeBron did make note of this when we sat down to bring it up, they hired Scott Brooks and Nate McMillan. And so JJ is not flying blind as a first-time head coach. He has one guy who led the Thunder to the NBA Finals and has umpteen years of experience on the bench. Another guy who helped coach the U.S. Olympic team to a gold in Beijing, and again, plenty of experience on the bench, Nate McMillan. And so I think that is as important as the team hiring JJ in order to get LeBron's buy-in going into next year.
Dave McMenamin here on the Rich Eisen Show. And what is your opinion of the Lakers drafting Bronny and how that came about? If you want to just go factual as well, I'll give you the floor and whatever you'd want to say on this subject matter, Dave.
I think he is the most discussed 55 pick in the history of the league.
There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. There's no question.
And based on what we've seen so far, did he earn a spot in the NBA? You know, like what JJ said at his introductory press conference when Bronny said, I just want to thank Rob and thank JJ for what they've given me. And JJ tried to, you know, correct the record and said, no, you earned this, Bronny. I don't know if you can really say that based on his body of work at the NCAA level and all the kids around the country and quite frankly around the world that ended up going undrafted, that he earned it. What I truly believe, and I, you know, I've just seen him, you know, basically observed him as an older brother to his younger brother and his younger sister. And you just kind of get a sense of someone's character that way. And I've seen him from the time he was, you know, at my waist level or whatever, you know, 4 feet tall to where he is now over the last decade. And I believe he's a person of high character. And I think what you can look to as a concrete example of his determination to make it is coming back from a heart attack last summer and to put himself in position to even be playing basketball. Now, yeah, a lot of people could say that's, should that be enough to get drafted into the NBA, to the league's glamour franchise? Maybe it's not. But at the same time, I don't see it's a bad play for the Lakers to put the investment into Bronny if it means they're going to get a better version of LeBron. And also, like, if we're going to have this conversation, can we also acknowledge that Giannis Antetokounmpo has had his brother playing with him in Milwaukee for years now? And I don't think that's caused nearly the same uproar that this Bronny situation is currently.
No, I'm again, just so you're aware, my opinion of is it is who are we to say? You know what I mean? And I think you just nailed it, that if you're going to get a better version of LeBron for the first, you know, for the first 2 years of Bronny's career, then that alone means so much. And on top of it, we have no idea what conversations they've had for years over the importance of this moment that would be, I believe, a highlight leader for the worldwide leader in sports, as well as everybody else that is in business with the NBA. If the two of them get on the court and one assists the other, I mean, we'll be talking about that over any other result the night before in the NBA, which is awesome. So what do I care? I don't. And again, it's not as if LeBron is defrayed and they're doing this just to keep him around and it hurts the team. Or they use the first round selection on him. They didn't. Right. So all of it is just, as you said, an odd spotlight for a 55th overall selection. But their last name is James, and we're talking about LeBron, too. So I just wanted to, you know, take a minute here to round out our discussion with my opinion of it. So what is, and then we'll move on to the rest of the Summer League and the new Dream Team. What is the sense of what J.J. Redick's going to bring to this team? Like, what's the vision here that you're hearing about with Redick, Dave?
I mean, the word that keeps getting thrown around is accountability. And then alongside that, you know, thinking the game. And whether that be through what J.J. brings to the table in terms of out-of-timeout plays, in terms of their overall schemes offensively and defensively, in terms of rotations and substitution patterns, that's all one part of it. But, you know, they really want their players to be kind of starting this culture of, if you play on the Lakers, you are a player that understands the game at a higher level. It sounds great in a press conference. Rob Pelinka even suggested that they may develop some sort of app for the players to gamify JJ's offensive principles. And so they could, like, on some level be filling out questionnaires or some sort of like video game on their phone in order to kind of reinforce the basketball knowledge he's trying to give to his players on a daily basis. I mean, maybe that's what basketball is in 2024. It sounded a little wonky to me personally, but if the idea is pure as it is, and you can find other ways to get your players to just become sharper in understanding the game, I think it's kind of a noble first step in terms of what the Lakers aspire to be under J.J. Redick.
Dave McManaman here on the Rich Eisen Show from Las Vegas. What was it like in the building last night with USA versus Canada, Dave?
Rich, it was amazing. I've been covering USA basketball events since 2007 in Las Vegas. And I thought it would be really hard to beat the blue-white game that I covered in 2007. You had Kobe on one team, LeBron on the other. Kobe ends up hitting the game winner. That was at the Thomas and Mack. It's a smaller venue, and it didn't have quite the buzz that this one did last night. I mean, there was sellout, 20,000-plus, USA chants, fans on their feet. When LeBron and Dylan Brooks started to get into it a little bit, the crowd was smart enough to know the history between LeBron and Dylan when Dylan was with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Lakers played them in the playoffs a few years back. Honestly, it was a treat to cover. And there's part of me, as these seasons get longer and longer, like, man, do we really need to be in a gym with NBA players in July, right? But that was well worth the trip to cover. And if this USA team continues to approach the rest of the run-up to the Olympics and their time in France the way they did last night, they're going to make their mark. As you know, there will be an argument that they're the best USA basketball team in history.
I mean, they're poised. They are poised in terms of obvious resume, and I understand what the original Dream Team was and stood for, but they're certainly poised to back that up, Dave. And that is a mouthful. What was the chatter about Derek White over Jaylen Brown that you were hearing last night?
Yeah, I mean, Grant Hill tried to defuse the situation with a joke that went over like a lead balloon in the room. And you know, obviously the insinuation here is that Jaylen Brown was left off the team because Nike made the decision. And Jaylen Brown was critical of Nike online more than a year ago when they severed their relationship with Kyrie Irving after Kyrie Irving shared that documentary on his social media channels that included some anti-Semitic themes. Grant Hill goes, well, I was wearing Fila's for most of my career, and look at me being part of Team USA. And it didn't work to explain the situation. Now, I can say this. There was consideration for Derek White before the finals was over, before Jaylen Brown was named the NBA Finals MVP. And he's been someone who's been a part of USA basketball from the, you know, under 18 junior tournament level as well. So it's not like just all of a sudden they decide that, you know what, we're not going with Jaylen Brown because of the controversy and we want to sell sneakers. And, you know, just to rub it in even more, so we're going to take his teammate. Like, this has been something that's been discussed by USA Basketball now for months. Because you also need to have contingency plans when you know that injuries are part of the sport. And so, you know, Derek White, I'm sure whenever he speaks to the media for the first time, once he joins the team overseas, he's going to tell us that he wasn't necessarily caught off guard or shocked by this decision, because I'm sure that Grant Hill and USA Basketball and company kind of primed the pump to ask him before we got to this point, hey, if someone does drop out, are you ready and willing to step in? And so it definitely looks bad for Jaylen Brown, and I can empathize to the spot that he's in, because kind of the de facto I'm the best player in the world title that gets passed around summer to summer is the guy who wins the NBA Finals MVP award. Yes. And that's what he just did.
Right.
And to not be included, something doesn't smell right necessarily. At the same time, I can't totally fault USA Basketball and say this was just some sort of spiteful decision by them. I think the Derek White decision was months in the making.
Well, I mean, the answer lies, I think, somewhere in between what you just said, Dave, right? I mean, it's not some sort of spiteful decision that came down from on high in the state of Oregon by Phil Knight, right? But there is something to the fact that Team USA or USA Basketball has been identifying Derek White instead of Jaylen Brown. You know, I mean, he didn't have to be NBA Finals MVP to make this more awkward. He was already a top player in the world prior to the NBA Finals this year and throughout the playoffs. He was already showing that. And so if you're putting together the team of the best, you choose Jaylen Brown, but Grant said something along the lines of he's trying to make up a puzzle piece team, right? I mean, so what?
Yeah, I mean, where do we land? Seen, like, look at the Redeem team, right? Like, that was top heavy with stars, obviously LeBron, Kobe, Melo, Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade, but then they had someone like Tayshaun Prince on the team to fill a role, and you know, the same people that are involved and putting that team together, the Jerry Colangelos of the world, the Mike Krzyzewskis of the world, they have been consultants to Grant Hill in the process of putting this team together. And so I'm sure he has, you know, anecdotal evidence from guys who had success at this level and how they thought about putting together a team and why he would feel like he'd be justified making the right decision by putting a player with the kind of profile of a Derek White into a group that is already so superstar heavy. And again, I don't think that's necessarily any sort of criticism of Jaylen Brown at all, but because we are here and because, again, since they were starting to lean in that direction months ago, we are now talking about Jaylen Brown being the current reigning NBA Finals MVP, it does change how the conversation looks. And that's just something they decided they were comfortable living with.
Well, I'm just trying to get you ready, Dave, for the first episode of First Take when Wimbledon's over. I mean, this may be the first hour when Stephen A. has the microphone back on, you know? Just trying to get you ready.
I appreciate that, Rich.
Yeah, listen, we try to help, Dave. There may be an I in Rich and I's, and I'm a team player. Before I let you go, what is the story that I'm not asking you about of Vegas so far? Is there one? What did we discuss it?
I mean, Cooper Flagg was all the talk over Monday and Tuesday. And I'll say this. I spoke to one of the scouts who was in the gym and saw the entirety of the scrimmage. And, you know, the media was only privy to some of it. So some of the clips that you see online doesn't reflect the entirety of the scrimmage. The varsity team, so to speak, had kind of already done their work. Like, they had kind of been dominating the select team. They're up double digits midway through the fourth quarter or so. And that's when Flagg went on his little flurry, and they ended up making a competitive game there. Now, that's not to take anything away from what he did. He got a switch on Anthony Davis when Jrue Holiday was the initial defender, and he makes a step back, shot from beyond the 3-point line. He catches a ball at the rim, is able to finish and take contact and get the and one, made another, turnaround jumper over Jrue Holiday and was making plays defensively too. So he was excellent in that moment. It wasn't like he was starting on the select team and had this moment when the varsity team had all their juice, all their energy to start the game. And it's like, I'm giving you my best against your best. He kind of found a lull in the game and struck and took advantage of it. He deserves a ton of credit for that. But Cooper Flagg is going to be a fantastic player at Duke and a very good NBA prospect. I'm just not ready to say, like, he's going to be Wembanyama part two when he gets to the league in the fall of 2025.
No, but you want to, and you got the anointing oils out?
Well, what I'm saying
is Syracuse on Syracuse violence
on? Flag from the basketball hotbed of Maine, Dave, as you know.
Oh, that's right.
Because I am a fellow hooper from the 207.
Oh, my God, fellow hooper.
Why would they just put him on the team? Why wouldn't he replace Kawhi? Wouldn't that be cool for vibes? Because he could play 5 minutes a game and be the 12th guy who isn't really going to play much anyway.
It's not a terrible idea, but as I was talking with Rich, Chris, like, this has been a discussion months in the making, and they had to make sure that obviously that Derek White would have been able to clear his schedule to some extent to be kind of the replacement in waiting. So these discussions were happening before Cooper Flagg had that wonderful day, before Jaylen Brown was Finals MVP.
This just shows you how much Chris either loves Cooper Flagg or wanted to point out he's a fellow hooper from Maine, that he's contradicting a fellow Syracuse Orangeman. And on top of it, you're complaining about they chose the wrong Celtic? I mean, come on, man. How many yachts are you water skiing behind?
I prefer
right now
if just one Celtic played. These guys need rest.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Dave, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it. Stay cool there, brother. Dave McMenamin right here from Las Vegas. You're a fool.
If anyone can attest to my hoop skills.
Is it really?
It's Dave.
Oh, he's zooming out. We're not going to keep him another second longer.
Next time he zooms in.
We're not keeping him another second longer.
I do have questions, Rich, because Chris makes it seem like those two ran the courts.
Let's get him here in person. That's a Dave McMenamin here in person type conversation.
Love it.
Okay. Mac 10 sets up shop right down the street.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Roger Bennett, a man in blazer, will join us top of hour three to talk Team USA in soccer and England advancing.
This is a little early. I don't do lunch martinis. But
so you're pouring a martini now into the martini shaker.
I poured just a little in. It looked like there may have been
some ice in it.
But you won't complain. Don't send the drink back.
We just need to. The olives are already in the glasses.
Don't bruise it. Some people at home, what about stirring? There's a great bar called the Edmund over on Melrose. They like to stir. I like that. I like to shake a little bit.
So, are you more like Bond, shake and not stirred, or you're?
I prefer actually bruising the vodka, make it ice cold.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
These are vermouth washed glasses. We have put a little vermouth in there earlier.
Okay.
And then
pouring it out.
Why don't you take
that one?
This is my friend Rich Eisen. Are we toasting? I just want to toast you. seeing you again. You want to toast the ESPN, correct?
Well, we are toasting to ESPN's 40th anniversary.
Oh.
There is a big event going on this weekend. My invitation is probably where yours is right now.
Yeah.
So we just figured, why not just do it ourselves?
What a nice thought.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I haven't seen you in a very long time.
My arm's getting sore.
I know. Here it goes. I like to toast. I haven't seen you in a long time, Craig, and I've been cultivating this caper to try and get you come on this show. And
you're the only guy. What if I only do your show? I'd love to just do that because I like you're smooth and natural. Did I compliment you? I like Rich.
There you go.
I like Rich.
Okay.
Let me just see what this is because the ice was sitting there.
Cheers to you.
Nice to see you.
Cheers to you. Nice to
finally meet you.
cheers.
It's watered down. Say anything. It's watered down. But let's pretend it's not. This is what I say at a bar or a restaurant, the Big Four up in San Francisco and Knob Hill. I take a sip. Mm-hmm. I go like this. I go, this is the greatest moment of my life.
It's so silly. Game Time Tickets. The app is awesome. Put it on a phone, mobile device near you and start buying tickets for anything in your area. Concert, theater, sporting events. It's awesome. Baseball tickets, especially these days. You want to go to a baseball game? Use the Game Time app. I do it for both of these teams in this here baseball loving town, and it's awesome. Takes the guesswork totally removed. You can see your relation of your seat to the pitcher's mound and the field so easily thanks to the views from your seat function, the all-in prices before you purchase. You get to see how much it costs, everything included, killer last-minute deals. Prices on the Game Time app goes down, actually, as it gets closer to the first pitch. It's awesome. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. You take the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets with Game Time by creating an account. Redeem my code RICH and get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's get to Garrett in Connecticut. I've been told he's been calling in quite frequently, and we've been leaving him high and dry. What's up, Garrett? You there?
What's going on, guys?
Is that an accurate description you've been trying to get through, Garrett?
Oh yeah, I'm on day three right now.
Wow.
I'm just trying to do a win loss for the good old Patriots.
Wow, that is stick to it, man.
We're going on the other side of the spectrum here.
Not going to be a lot of wins, Garrett.
But this is fandom. Calling into a show to talk about how bad your team may be and getting through on day three, this is some real stick-to-itiveness, Garrett. And I think for that alone, you deserve a win. How does that sound?
Richard,
that sounds good in my book.
You're not even giving him the benefit of the doubt. You just said how bad your team may be. Maybe he thinks they're going to be good.
They're going to be terrible.
Hit the music, Mike.
Are you guys crazy?
Hit the music. Garrett in Connecticut.
A lot of people, including myself in New England, have no confidence. So here we go.
At the Cincinnati Bengals.
We leave with two things. A participation sticker and a nice loss.
And when you lose, I win.
Moving on to Seattle at home.
That's another loss.
Moving on to the Jets on a Thursday night.
I think that's our one primetime game this season. It's going to be another loss.
Oh, wow.
At the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, boy. That's a loss, too.
0-4, home for the Dolphins.
Look at this stretch. Dolphins are too fast, too good offense.
Tua owns us.
That's another loss.
0-5, home for the Texans.
Here we go again. Another loss.
0-6, going to London to take on the Jaguars.
We got to get off the U.S. turf. We're going to win in London.
Oh! Hey. Good thing Josh Hines Allen's not around to hear that.
Right.
Home for the Jets.
That's going to be a bit closer one, but I think the Jets are going to have our number. It's going to be like a 21-17 game.
1-7 at the Titans.
Tennessee is a lot better than everyone thinks. They reloaded. We lose.
I don't blame you for that one. 1-8 at the Bears.
Drake May makes his first start of the season against Caleb Williams. That's going to be another loss, though. It's just not enough.
1-9, home for the Rams.
That's going to be a tough game. We're home. I think we finally get another win right there.
2-9 at the Dolphins.
That's going to be another loss.
Tua and 10 home for the Colts?
Depends if Anthony Richardson's playing, but I think Colts win again.
They got Flacco, pal. They got Flacco magic. 2-11 at the Cardinals.
We're coming off a bye that one. I think that's going to be a win.
3-11 at the Bills.
That's going to be a loss.
3-12 home for the Chargers.
Jim Harbaugh turns that team around. That's going to be a loss for the Pats.
3-13 home for the Bills.
Bills already clinched playoffs. They have nothing to play for, and we win.
That could cost you the first overall selection. 4-13. Garrett in Connecticut. By the way, Garrett in Connecticut.
Well done, Garrett.
This is a he deserves a participation trophy here to call in.
Fantastic.
We just did the determination. You held on for over 6 hours combined over the last 3 days to tell the entire country you think your team's going 4-13. That is impressive, Moxie.
That's how adamant I am. I want to be realistic. You know, I hear a lot of people shoot over a little bit in their wins category.
There you go. From the Nutmeg State to your ear gate, Garrett in Connecticut. Thank you, sir. 4-13.
You can go home now.
That matches Ed in North Carolina's 4-13. A little bit worse than Jacob Batalone, the actor, 7-10. Still the leader in the clubhouse, the most pie in the sky, glass half full. My son Cooper in Los Angeles had the Pats 8-9.
No way.
Roger Bennett's coming up to talk about Team USA bouncing their coach and England advancing in the Euro Cup.
I'm getting my James Pierce Jr. jerseys ready.
Is that who you think is going to be? That's who you're looking up, who the first overall pick in next year's draft is going to be?
Tennessee Edge. 6'5", 240, TJ.
Coming at you?
Okay.
It's a lot like Josh Hines-Allen, who was just here.
Yes. Let me tell you what the Patriots need in next year's draft.
Everything?
What the Patriots need in next year's draft is some quarterback to just shoot to the absolute top of the chart.
Yep.
Can't miss prospect.
Yep.
Have a Joe Burrow type season.
Yep.
And say, who wants the pick?
Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Shador,
let's go.
Whoever.
You are rooting for every college football quarterback this year to go crazy.
Yep.
That's your memo. This year's memo is
lose
as many.
Lose every game.
This year's memo is lose enough. Lose, not too much.
Lose a lot. Lose a lot.
Enough for you to be the first overall pick.
And then
let's get every college quarterback shooting for the moon.
Joe Burrow, 60 TDs.
And
everybody.
So somebody makes the Godfather offer and you turn that into a dozen, you know, a total pick-a-palooza.
Let's go.
Did
and
you
cash
see
him in.
The memo about this?
That's next year's memo. Write it up, Chris. Write it up.
Let's go.
You have a few weeks.
I got a few
weeks. Take some time.
Go.
That's this year's memo. That's what you need next year. You don't need to use the first overall pick on an edge rusher. Come on.
I mean, I'd like an edge rusher.
You would. Yeah, so yeah. Fine. Get another one. And have two more first round picks to come.
Did you get that memo?
Not yet. Roger Bennett, folks. He's a man in a blazer. Coming up.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
I'm glad that it's over. As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.